But oh, bless God, our finish doesn't have to be the way we started. Amen.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Matthew chapter 1, where is recorded the genealogy of Jesus, includes three ladies badly broken by their past that prove our God is a God who specializes in creating beauty out of ashes. Last week, we heard about Tamar, and our message broke as we were hearing about Rahab. Listen with us now as Pastor Brian Grant picks up his message about three ladies of problematic background that are nevertheless recorded as ancestors of Jesus. Here again is Pastor Grant finishing his message, God Creates Beauty from Ashes.
But amazingly, this prostitute and enemy would become the mother of Boaz, the great-grandfather of David, Israel's greatest king. Oh, my friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that God can create beauty from the ashes of our lives. Amen? So what happened in her life that caused her to be listed in the genealogy of Jesus? Why was this prostitute listed in the Hall of Faith? Come on now. It's one thing for her to be saved, but she ends up in a short list in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. How did this transformation take place? Well, let's pick up at verse 4 of Joshua chapter 2, verse number 4. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out." Where the men went, I do not know. "Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." We can add another charge to her account. She's also she's a liar. "But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof." In fact, one Bible commentator says the only thing that she had going for her was that she was a liar. Not quite. "Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Nor before they lay down, she came up to the roof and said to the men, 'I know, listen to this good now. Here is the secret to how she ends in the Hall of Faith. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us.'" And by the way, notice it's not a uppercase L, lowercase O-R-D. She's saying, "I know that Jehovah has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you, for we have heard." Oh, it's good to give a testimony about what God has done for you, amen? Yes. Oh, you don't know the impact your testimony might have on somebody. This lady was impacted by the testimony she heard. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, Jehovah, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." What an amazing acknowledgement of faith. Amen. Jehovah, your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. "Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death." Put this in your notes. Rahab's name is enshrined in God's hall of faith, not because of how she started, but because of how she finished. Hallelujah. Let me just pause here to say this morning, perhaps someone is listening this morning and you were off to a bad start. Guess what? You're not alone. We all were on the wrong foot. But oh, bless God, our finish doesn't have to be the way we started. Amen. It doesn't have to be the same for along the road of life. Write this down. Rahab turned from pursuing money and pleasure and risked everything to pursue the living God. Rahab turned her life and she decided to pursue the living God, and she risked everything. She hid these men, hoping and trusting they wouldn't find, the king wouldn't find them. She risked everything to pursue the living God. So what about the lie? You know, when we lie, usually it's because of a lack of faith. Did you realize that her lie was because of her faith? Oh, that may make you think and chew on that a little. She lied because of her faith. You see, she didn't know all the Bible like we. She didn't go to Sunday school. She didn't know all the ropes. But because she was convinced that this God was the true and living God, she decided, I'm going to lie and take care of his people, the spies he has sent. I'm going to do everything I can to protect them. Now, does that justify what she did? No, it doesn't justify us. Justify, but never lose that idea. Because sometimes we say, oh, Rahab lied, therefore I can lie. No, you can't lie. Because the only reason you are lying is to cover your back, to not get in trouble. Listen, Rahab was not trying to avoid getting in trouble. Rahab was exercising faith in God. Write that one down, because usually we don't bring that point up and we argue about her lie. And perhaps that will help you to stop arguing about her lie. But here's the bottom line. Have you ever come to the point in your life that you have decided to pursue the living God? And to risk everything you have to pursue God. That's where God wants to get us this morning. That's where he wants to get us. Because when he gets us there, he can transform the burnt out ashes of our lives. He can transform them into a thing of beauty. Over 20 years ago, after I was finished preaching, a lady came to speak with me. And while I was leading her to the Lord, she shared with me that she was a prostitute and she plied her trade right here on the streets of Philadelphia. But you know, that day she received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She was gloriously saved. And she not only left the streets, selling her body on the streets, but God over a period of time helped her to overcome her drug addiction. And I tell you, I'll never forget standing at her wedding and marveling at the wonderful change God had made in her life. As I was writing, preparing the sermon, a little song popped into my mind when I just thought about her. This little song I knew, grew up learning, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Aren't you glad Jesus has come into your heart? Oh, my brother and sister, perhaps I'm speaking to someone this morning and Jesus has never come into your heart. He's not your Savior. He's not your Lord. Oh, this morning I urge you to come to know him. What a wonderful change he can make. Listen, he can turn a prostitute into a saint of God. And this prostitute, this harlot, he makes her into one of the treasures. He not only makes her into one of the family members of the Lord Jesus, Her name is inscribed in the hall of faith. Boy, don't tell me about all that you went through. Don't use your drama as an excuse. Are you understanding? Stop using your history as an excuse as to why you're not progressing in the things of God. Because God is able to make beauty from the ashes of our past, no matter what we have been through, what we have experienced. God is saying to us today, if you're willing to give me all and to pursue wholeheartedly after me, I will transform your ashes into a thing of beauty. Oh, we have seen two terrible stories. But what amazing stories of grace. God is able to transform our lives into beauty. You know, some Christians, they want to remind you of everything you have done. They seem to think they are God's computer. It's my job to record everything everybody has ever done. And every now and then, I don't know if you have this thing on your phone. Every minute I get a message I didn't ask for. Does that happen to you too? Things just come onto your phone. Some Christians are like that. They store all this stuff. And every minute they bring it up. They'll remind you or they remind somebody else what you did. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. Somebody ought to say hallelujah this morning because Jesus makes a difference. Amen. The third lady mentioned in the genealogy is Ruth. And just like some here today, Ruth had a broken heart. You know, there are a whole lot of reasons why people have broken hearts. Some people's hearts are broken because their husband died, like in the case of Ruth. Some people's hearts are broken because their kids died, or some of us have lost in this COVID time for one reason or the other. But you know, death is not the only reason why our hearts are broken. Some people's hearts are broken because of broken relationships with children, broken relationships with grandchildren, broken relationships with a spouse who's very much alive. All sorts of reasons why our hearts are broken. But write this one down. God can create beauty even after a broken heart. And I believe there are those here this morning and your heart is broken for whatever reason, and God can create beauty in and through your life. Ruth was another foreigner. Ruth was a Moabitess, and she married a Jewish man who had moved to Moab because there was a famine in Israel. But I think many of you know the story. Life took an unexpected turn after they got married. In less than 10 years, everybody was dead. Her husband was dead. Her husband's brother was dead. Her husband's father was dead. All the men were dead. Three husbands leaving three widows. Two of them widows were Moabite, and one was Israel. One was a Jew, Naomi, the mother-in-law. Well, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, decided to return to Israel. And she encouraged Ruth to stay in Moab because she knew the chances of Ruth finding another husband in Israel, zero. The Jewish boy is not going to marry you, Moabite woman. So Ruth said, you better stay right here in Moab so you can get another shot at love. But Ruth had fallen in love with Naomi. But more, she had fallen in love with the God of Naomi. And so Ruth decided, I'm not going to leave my mother-in-law. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. And so she went with her back to Israel. And though she knew it had hindered the prospects of her having another chance at love. My friend, I just want to say to you, just in passing, and saying to some of my young adults and to others, listen, even if your heart suggests otherwise, following God is always the right decision. Do you hear what I'm saying? Following God. Doing what God's word says. Can I be honest? Your relatives sometimes will give you bad advice, you know. You notice who gave her some bad advice? Her mother-in-law says, stay here, you may find another man. All right, that's the Brian Grant paraphrase. But sometimes our families will say to us things like that, and they will encourage us to not follow God's word wholeheartedly because humanly speaking, it seems to make sense to do it that way, but following God is always the right choice. Sometimes it don't even look like it is, because I tell you, when Ruth finally made it to Israel, life was as tough as you could get. She had to work all day in the fields, picking up things that had fallen, pieces of corn, ears of corn that had fallen from the other people, the reapers. And she would pick up the leftover that was on the ground. And she had, that's how she and her mother-in-law survived. That was hard, back-breaking work. But God was up to something. Oh, hallelujah. Unknown to her, things were going to change. My brother and my sister, amazing things can happen when we walk uprightly. Let me leave you with two verses here, two key verses that I want you to make sure you hold on to. Here's the first one, Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Help me say the last part. Say it with me. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Can I encourage you to memorize that verse? But here's another one you need to memorize. Psalm 37, 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Oh, I loved the last part. He what? He delights in what? Every detail. Oh, hallelujah. God delights in every detail of our lives when we are determined to walk godly. Do you believe it? Ruth and Naomi did not realize how God was directing their steps. But God directed their steps to the section of Israel where they needed to go. He not only directed their steps to the section of Israel, he directed Ruth to go pick up corn in the field that she needed to pick it up in. Are you with me this morning? What an incredible God we have. And this God has committed in Scripture that he delights in every detail of our lives. And he says, listen, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And my brother and my sister, listen, this is a message for every believer to challenge us to make sure we are walking godly, that we're living a godly life. Ruth told Naomi, I'm working in Boaz's field. And Naomi knew that since Boaz was a member of her husband's extended family, under Jewish law, he had the right to marry Ruth. So let's pick up what happened. Jump with me to Ruth. So here we are in the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 3, verse 6 through 13. So Ruth went down to the threshing floor. Her mother-in-law had given her instructions what to do, and she did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grains, and Ruth came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. There was nothing sexual here. I used to say, but why, this seems awfully rude for her to do. No, it wasn't. Now it happened that the man was startled, turned and said, there a woman was lying at his feet. He said, who are you? So she answered, I'm Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you're a close relative. She's now starting to give him, take me under your wing. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after younger men whether poor or rich. And know, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Now, it is true that I am a close relative. See, he knows exactly what it is. It is true you are close. I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. If he does not want to marry you, then I will marry you. He said it is his. He has the right to marry you because he's a closer relative. It turns out the other guy did not want to marry her. And so we can jump right to Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. And here's what Ruth 4, 13 says. So Boaz took Ruth's wedding bells, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not let you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous. Verse 17, also the neighbor woman gave her a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. What an amazing story. This story is the sequel to Rahab's. For after God transformed Rahab's life, her son Boaz now marries Ruth, and they have a son who becomes David's grandfather. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? Naomi and Ruth left Moab with broken hearts, but now their hearts were full to the overflow, because God can create beauty, even hearts that have been badly broken. My friend, write this in your notes. If ever our hearts are broken, we must draw even closer to the Lord, for the Lord directs the steps of the godly and delights in every detail of their life. God knows exactly what I need, and he knows exactly what you need. My friend, if this morning we make a decision that we're going to pursue him with all our hearts, the God who can create beauty from ashes is willing to create beauty in your life. You say, Pastor Brian, some of what you spoke about was so interesting, but it's not my story. But here's what God is actually saying. This may not be your story, but you can change the storyline to whatever your story is. God is saying, no matter what it is, no matter what the drama in your life is, no matter what the experience, your background is, he said, I who changed these ladies' lives, I can change yours. It doesn't matter what the story is. It doesn't matter what your experience is. God says he can create beauty from your life. He can create beauty from my life. But first, I must turn and pursue him. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.